from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Good question coming in here. I'll answer. This is Getting Connected with Our Fans. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Brian tweets in at Sal Sports with the new rule regarding injured and designated to return. Does it now disallow the Reed Ferguson, you know, parking lot cut? Or is that an option still to keep additional people eligible? No, that's still allowed, Brian. Good question. You can still do it. You just don't need it as much, right? Because if you do it if you have more than... If you had more guys, like you can only use two guys for this IR designated return today, the new rule. But if you have a third guy, you're like, well, we got to get this guy on the 53 and then we can put him on IR. You can do the quote unquote Reed Ferguson parking lot cut. It's not allowed. It's just that you wouldn't have to do it necessarily. So hopefully that answers your question. Let's get to the Western Hotline right now. Our good buddy Matt Perino joins us from Syracuse.com, New York Upstate, and the Shout Podcast with Ryan Talbot. Good morning, buddy. It is a big day today. Any surprises for you so far from everything that we've learned through all of these reports?
I'm surprised with myself, right?
Why?
And a lot of us. Because the Tyrell Shavers,
yeah, me too,
like vibes over the last couple of weeks, like we should have kind of seen this coming. Like, he had such a strong start to the summer, and I think maybe we overreacted a little bit to Brandon Bean mentioning him specifically a couple times in the spring as a guy that kind of set up for a huge summer, and he was living up to it. I mean, he was a riser over the first week, like so much so that while everybody was healthy, he was kind of getting worked in with the first team. So I think they wanted to take a look at that. Like, could he make some plays? How did he look on tape maybe against Christian Benford, Rasul Douglas? And maybe it just wasn't as good as you thought, because he was a guy in the third preseason game that got a huge opportunity. And who knows? I don't think it came down to that one play in the end zone, but we had a lot of talk about that on the show after the game. And it was just it's a numbers game, right? Like, how many guys are going to be on the field at one time? What's the path to playing time? The Bills are potentially going to, you know, run a little bit more 12 personnel this year. Is a sixth receiver as valuable? And then what does that sixth receiver end up being? Like, KJ Hamler, for all intents and purposes, could have been doing a lot, like, behind the scenes that it's showing them he's the guy that they wanted to mix, and he's got that extra versatility that he can return kicks in a pinch. So I think that, to me, is like the surprise, but it shouldn't have been a surprise. We kind of do this every year with one player. You know, last year it was, you know, Justin Shorter. The year before that, Isaiah Hodgins, who ironically is a free agent apparently again here coming up, or released on waivers once again. So I think that's the biggest surprise so far.
Yeah, by the way, I'm glad you mentioned Hodgins. I want to bring him up to you. And so everybody's clear. Isaiah Hodgins actually has been in the league 4 years, but he only has 3 accrued seasons because of the way his career's gone. So he is subject to waivers. Any team can claim him. Could that be the Buffalo Bills, who drafted him and he just couldn't crack the 53? How do you see the receiver room shaping out now, Matt, thinking about both Shavers and Shorter gone? Are they going to keep 5? Do they go get a Hodgins? Hey, I just read Allen Robinson was just waived, by the way, also by the New York Giants, actually released for him. Is there somebody out there that they're looking to make a play for? Or is this just the 5, or maybe one that's on the roster now, like a Hamler and Isabella?
You know, I think it probably could be any of those things. I think to start with, I think 5 wide receivers should have always been something we talked a little bit more about. And I think we actually did at one point on Shout, talking about, like, they need bodies on the offensive line. Like, everybody was really quick to want to cut Lyle Collins, and I talked about how kind of bad he looked in the spring. I thought he kind of trended a little bit upwards over the course of the summer, and he gives you, like, great versatility. I mean, a guy that could play at guard or tackle, even though it might not be as good as you want to see most of the time, it's still a guy that can do it in a pinch. And I think banking on a guy like a Tylan Grable, like, I think you want to keep him on your roster, and we'll see how this kind of thing ends up on the offensive line. But if you're forced to play a guy that's a former high school quarterback who's only been playing offensive line for a couple of years, has had some good moments in the preseason, I think people are high on the way that he's developing. If he ends up being your, you know, top swing guard tackle off the bench, are you comfortable with that? If you get a couple injuries on the offensive line, which the Bills didn't have to deal with last year because their starters played every snap of the season, then are you going to hand things over to a sixth-round rookie? I think Collins gives you that kind of experience. Well, the more guys you have like that, the Lyle Collins that are firmly on the bubble, I think the more you have to look to peel away at other spots. And I think at receiver, you just know that you have those top five guys, MVS included, who both him and Curtis Samuel seem to be on track to be available in week one or pretty close. So that gives the Bills some confidence to, okay, let's go a little bit heavier at some of these other spots because they're more unknown spots, especially like at safety and in the defensive back room. I mean, if we're looking at 11, 12 guys between those two positions, you have to find places to offset that elsewhere on the roster. And Sal, we haven't seen anything on Zach Davidson yet. So if they end up keeping four tight ends, that's another spot where you're going to have to offset that somewhere else.
Maybe Quentin Morris is one of these guys that's a candidate for the, you know, IR designated to return. Maybe it's three plus that. Maybe it's four because they want to run more 12 personnel. You make a great point on Lyle Collins, Matt, because I'm looking at the roster. If you say, we know who the starting five is, Dawkins and Brown at tackle, McGovern at center, Torrance and Edwards at guard. We know Ryan Vandermark's a swing tackle, and Alec Anderson is your swing guard or interior. Cedric Van Pran Granger is only playing center. So Tylon Grable is only playing tackle. Where's your other guard coming from? You're right. I mean, can you go in the season with just Alec Anderson really as your only backup guard? That may open the door for Collins or maybe even Will Clapp, who did have, you know, the concussion, but he was working as a backup center even before Cedric Van Pran Granger. He also has guard flexibility.
Yeah, I think Clapp's, you know, his little stint in the concussion protocol maybe muddied the waters a little bit in terms of what they can do there. I still think, though, if you look at Collins, for the majority of this summer, he was working on that second team. And, you know, he played in that last game. I think that was another opportunity for them to get some snaps of him on film. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, Grable can play a little bit on the inside. We saw him working at guard. But it goes back to that original point. Is like, is he ready for a real role if you really need him? And we've seen it in the past. Like last year, they were unbelievably healthy. But in years prior, when they've had to go like two, three guys into their depth, now you're talking about like, who do you have in those spots? You know, have they played meaningful snaps? Because you got to remember too, in pass protection, you got Josh Allen back there. You can't take really any chances. And if they're happy enough with what they've seen from college, especially at like left guard, I think you like that. David Edwards, you know, that's another interesting side topic. He's the one new piece of this offensive line and obviously had a lot of success in L.A. He played that jumbo role for them last year. Aaron Cromer's super high on him, and he might be really, really good, but what if he's not? Like, what if you get into the first two or three games and you need another answer at left guard? That's where Collins kind of looked the best this summer. So a lot to kind of take in as we kind of see all these moving pieces here over the next couple of hours.
Matt Perino, Syracuse.com, Shout Podcast with Ryan Talbot. All right, Joe Andreessen, obviously a big storyline last couple of weeks. As we move forward here, we have had a couple of linebackers released. Maybe a bit of a surprise for some people with Deion Jones. I didn't think he was really going to make it. Shane Simon's been released. That leaves Bernard Williams, Moro Ulofosio, Andreessen, and Baylen Specter. I've speculated that Baylen Specter is an IR designated return candidate, which gets you to Joe Andreessen on the roster. What do you feel about Buffalo Joe's chances?
That's exactly how I had it on my 53 too. Great minds think alike, Sal. I think Specter is a guy that, if you can, like if it's not Quentin Morris who gets that other designation to return, you know, you obviously want Matt Milano to be one of those guys. I think Specter makes a lot of sense. But I don't.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Almost. When do you reach a point with a player where you just say, this is who he is? And I've been so high on Spector. Every time he's healthy, gets an opportunity to play first, second, third team. I mean, he was in the competition early on last summer for the middle linebacker spot with Bernard and Dotson. And he's looked great when he's been able to play and he's been healthy. But every single year, this is the third straight year where he's been banged up with injuries. He was banged up in the spring. Then he gets this this issue in the summer. And now you're just having to ask yourself, is this something that every time we get down the road with this guy, is it going to be something that, you know, bites us? Because if you have him as a depth guy and Dorian Williams gets hurt and you got all of these young players and then Nick Morrow, who obviously played some important snaps for the Eagles last year when they got banged up, but he's also been banged up. Can you trust Baylen Spector to play injury free for an extended period of time? He's never proven to be able to do that. So I guess I'm more asking, I think the IR route makes a lot of sense, but I think also if you're Brandon Bean, you have to ask yourself a hard question. Have we just learned who this guy is? Unfortunately, his body's just not able to hold up.
So someone just pointed out to me, Alec, thank you. Alec tweeted in, look at Lyle Collins' Instagram story. Matt, I know you do this. You look at these guys' social media. I'm looking at it now. It says, Buffalo, thank you, with a heart. Hashtag the marathon continues. I don't know how to take that, to be quite honest.
Well, I mean, that if he's saying thank you, you're right. That could be either two things, like thank you for keeping me in the NFL. I mean, this is a guy that was on the practice
right.
squad for the Cowboys last year, or it could be thank you for a great summer. On to the next
try. The marathon continues. Does he mean the marathon staying with the team or the marathon of trying to find another team? I don't know.
I know. Everybody's kind of furiously working on this.
I'll let you do that. You tell me if you figure anything out, okay? I'll let you do that while I host the show today, and you can tell me, hey, I got it. I know you can probably figure that out better than I can. What does it mean? Buffalo, thank you. The marathon continues. By the way, thank you, Alec, for pointing that out here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. All right, the other area I wanted to get to you, we talk about linebacker, is DB. And look, Daquan Hardy, to me, has made the team. He is a return man. I said earlier, I think Jamarcus Ingram's pushing for number three cornerback with Kyer Elam. And if you're keeping Daquan Hardy and, by the way, training him on the outside, which is really interesting, what does it mean for Kyer Elam's career? I'm not suggesting they would move on from him as a cut candidate. Are we sure that maybe Kyer Elam wouldn't be a guy that they might want to just see if there's anything out there for him because they kind of like the way Daquan Hardy and Jamarcus Ingram have developed?
It's not out of the realm of possibility, and if you've seen enough and you don't think that Kyer Elam is going to be effective in the scheme, then how much do you want to continue down this road where his, you know, maybe the trade value dwindles if he comes out there? Now, I've always argued that he's been a lot better when he's gone into the games than I think a lot of people talk about, but, you know, I think the Hardy development is an important one. He's almost got the reverse Cam Lewis timeline going on. Like, he started in the spring, early summer in the slot, and then we saw him start to work on the boundary over the course of training camp and then into the preseason. Cam Lewis came in, if you remember, he was working primarily on the boundary, and then they started to see how quick he was, and they moved him on to the inside and then eventually over out to safety. I think a part of it is they just like guys being able to play multiple positions so that you add a ton of value because, you know, they've had spots before at the cornerback position where they're getting down to their third, fourth, fifth guy. I mean, Dane Jackson, that's why he was such an important piece to them for so long, is because it felt like every single season he was in a depth role, but he got in and was starting games for them before very long. So that's a position, you know, both Rasul Douglas and Christian Benford got banged up last year. I wonder if it's maybe not even Kyer Elam specific, it's just like we got to be able to go four, five, maybe even six deep because of what we've dealt with in the past. And then obviously what happened at linebacker last year, Sal, like we don't talk maybe enough about that in that at the end of the season, you had Milano out, you had Bernard out, you had Dotson hurting. I mean, it was a really rough spot by the time they played in that Kansas City game, guys either out or playing hurt. that could happen in any position, and we've seen some guys get banged up in that cornerback room.
Yeah, and just so fans know, too, and you brought up Matt Milano, it's a really interesting case, right? Because you don't have to designate Milano to return right now. You can put him on IR. You can have him on the 53, put him on IR, and then later in the year designate him, but then you're eating up a 53-man spot. But if they're not sure, Matt, if they're not sure if Matt Milano's going to play this year, like maybe that's the case. I don't know if they want to slap that designated return tag on him now, eat one of them up. But if the problem with that is, then you got to carry him on the 53 and don't get that extra guy. This is a tough spot for them, maybe.
Yeah, and I think even if there's any percentage of a chance that he returns, I think you want to probably use that that designated spot for him. Only because just think about the juice that potentially gives their defense if he's able to come back, or even the hope of it. Like remember when, you know, Von Miller was working his way back, you know, I think early last season, there was like a palpable buzz. Now, he got back and nothing went well over the course of the next 14 or 15 weeks for him specifically. But I think the chance to get Milano back is a huge deal. And I don't think you want to – they don't have the luxury of just pulling him through on the 53-man roster because of all these other guys they got to keep.
Yeah, I agree. And the other thing about it would be, too you might not get to eight guys anyway throughout the year that you have to bring back, right? I mean, that's a lot anyway. And you might say, like, we'll live with it. If we have to do that, we can do some other, you know, roster maneuvering. Real quick, before I let you go, backup quarterback's an interesting spot. I guess the way I see this playing out is you keep Trubisky on the 53, DiNucci or whoever, I think it's going to be DiNucci, goes to your practice squad, and you just elevate him for week one or weeks one and two until Trubisky's ready. But you don't have to put Trubisky in IR and miss 4 weeks. You could just kind of play a little roster maneuvering here and get you through a couple weeks.
For sure. And, I mean, there could be a bunch of different things that end up happening. I mean, some guys across the league to get cut that maybe the Bills want to take a look at. I know Mike White was a guy that was out there. I don't know if he's heading back to their practice squad or what the reporting has been on him. But there's always going to be a couple of interesting guys. And now DiNucci's been in the system long enough to where I say long enough, what's it been, like 2 weeks? You know, where at least he has some type of basis here to, you know, be able to get in the room and game plan over the next 2 weeks. You at least not have a guy that could go out there and to a degree know what you're trying to do. But I'm in the other camp, Sal. Like, I mean, I think backup quarterback we make a little bit too much of it. And no matter what happens, if Josh Allen isn't available, sure, you want to try to get somebody out there that could get you through a game, that could put you in a position to win and maybe not lose a game for you. But the balancing act between, or like I should say, the distance between a Mitch Trubisky and a Ben DiNucci, I don't think it's as nearly as far as the distance from Mitch Trubisky to Josh Allen. So in the end, you know, just get somebody out there that's not going to turn the ball over, and whoever that ends up being, you're going to have to roll with them.
What do you and Ryan got going on here on the Shout Podcast rolling through today and tomorrow?
Yeah, we'll have a show later today. Obviously, Brandon Bean talks tomorrow. We'll kind of get some more insight into everything that's occurred today. We'll have you covered with, I think we all got those draft or those cut trackers up at the website. It'll be a busy couple days here, and then we'll get our last free weekend before the grind truly begins.
I mean, come on. I know your life, and you know my life. Do we ever really have a free weekend, ever?
No. Never.
I know, right? Well, listen, we'll stay in touch on whatever happens with Lyle Collins. If you hear anything, you let me know. That Instagram story, I'm very curious now. Mike Shope texted and said, I would guess that means he's gone. I'm like, I think so too, right? I mean, you don't put thank you because you're staying. I think, but I don't know. We'll see where it goes. Matt Parrino, at Matt Parrino on X, and of course, the Shout Podcast with Ryan Talbot. Thanks a lot, buddy. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll stay in touch.
You too, buddy. Take care.
All right, you got it. That is Matt Parrino on the Western Hotline. We'll come back. Jeff, stay with me. I'll get to your question in just a moment. We'll take a timeout here. We'll get to Evan Lazar at the top of the hour in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.